Ezra, what's on Thursday? What starts on Thursday the 15th? School! And sometimes we can be a little nervous about starting new things, can't we, church? And you've been to school before a couple years, but it's Ezra's first time in school. He's starting preschool, isn't he? Yeah, and you're starting first grade. And school's going to be a lot of fun. But sometimes, I don't know about you, but when I was in school, I would get nervous the week before school. And I'd start to think, I'd overthink things and think, oh, I don't know, like, what if the new people don't like me? Or what if I don't know the answers to what the teacher says or something like that? But you know what we all need when we start the school year? We learn. And one of the things we need to learn that we're going to learn today, what am I wearing today? A cape. You want to know what today's sermon's called? Get your cape on. Well, that's the theme show. The theme is from DC Superhero Girls, one of your favorite shows. But get your cape on. And the church is going to learn, I'm going to give them, cape is a code word. And we're going to decode what the word cape means. But the first letter that we're going to decode what cape means in our sermon today is confidence. Can you say confidence? Do you know what confidence is? Confidence is having the courage and knowing that you can do it. That God loves you, that your family loves you, your church loves you, and we're behind you, and you can do anything that God has for you to do. And so when you go to school, you can be a friend to other kids. You can learn new things. You can be kind. You can listen. And you can grow. And you can be confident. So I have a challenge. So you want to help me? Sit up. Okay. Whenever I put my thumb up, you're going to lead the church and you're going to say our word. Confidence. Ready? Say confidence. Confidence. Now stand like a superhero and say confidence. Confidence. All right. Here, you want to wear the cape? I'll give you the cape for now. So I need it back. The cape of confidence. Because our confidence is in Jesus Christ. Amen. So I'm just going to share some words of confidence from God's word. This is from the book of Hebrews. But first I want to share from Proverbs 3:26. For the Lord will be your... I'm sticking my thumb. What do we say, Eliana? Confidence. Ready?
Confidence.
All right. Say it with me, church.
Confidence.
Good. Proverbs 3:26 says, for the Lord will be your confidence. And will keep your foot from being caught. Proverbs 4:14-26 says, in the fear of the Lord, one has strong confidence, and one's children will have a refuge. Amen? Amen. Now this is from 2 Corinthians 7:16. Paul's writing to the church. He says, I rejoice because I have complete confidence in you. A picture of dinosaurs. Ready? Let's keep going. We are his house if we hold firm the confidence and pride that belong to hope. That's from Hebrews 3:6. Hebrews 3:14 says, we have become partners of Christ if only we hold our first confidence firm to the end. Hebrews 10:19 says, we have confidence to enter the sanctuary by the blood of Jesus. And Hebrews 10:35 says, do not therefore abandon that confidence of yours. It brings a great reward. Amen? Amen. Amen. So let's pray. Jesus, you want to pray with me? Lord Jesus, please give us confidence in your love and that we can do anything that you call us to do at school. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Today's reading is several verses from the book of Hebrews, chapter 10. Consequently, when Christ came into the world, he said, sacrifices and offerings you have not desired, but a body you have prepared for me. In burnt offerings and sin offerings you have taken no pleasure. Then I said, see, God, I have come to do your will, O God, in the scroll of the book. It is written of me. And it is by God's will that we have been sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. And every priest stands day after day at his service, offering again and again the same sacrifices that can never take away sins. But when Christ had offered for all time a single sacrifice for sins, he sat down at the right hand of God, and since then has been waiting until his enemies would be made a footstool for his feet. For by a single offering, he has perfected for all time those who are sanctified. Therefore, my friends, since we have confidence to enter the sanctuary by the blood of Jesus, by the new and living way that he opened for us through the curtain, that is, through his flesh, and since we have a great priest over the house of God, let us approach with a true heart in full assurance of faith, with our hearts sprinkled clean from an evil conscience, and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast to the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who has promised is faithful. And let us consider how to provoke one another to love and good deeds, not neglecting to meet together, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching. Do not, therefore, abandon that confidence of yours. It brings a great reward. For you need endurance, so that when you have done the will of God, you may receive what is promised. For yet, in a very little while, the one who is coming will come and will not delay. But my righteous one will live by faith. My soul takes no pleasure in anyone who shrinks back. But we are not among those who shrink back and so are lost, but among those who have faith and so are saved.
So the word of God, the people of God, let us say, thanks be to God. Invite you now to join me as we affirm our faith in Jesus Christ and the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and is buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day, he rose again. He ascended into heaven, is seated at the right hand of the Father, and will come again to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting.
Pick up your Bible and you open, and it just opens to a thing, and your eye catches it, and it's something that God wants you to hear right now in that moment. I just had one of those when I opened my Bible. I just want to share what God showed me. This is in 1 John chapter 5, verses 1 to 5. I think this is for all of us. Everyone who believes that Jesus is the Christ has been born of God, and everyone who loves the parent loves the child, and by this we know that we love the children of God, when we love God and obey his commandments. For the love of God is this, that we obey his commandments, and his commandments are not burdensome, for whatever is born of God conquers the world. And this is the victory that conquers the world, our faith. Who is it that conquers the world but the one who believes that Jesus is the Son of God. Amen? Amen. So if you can't tell already, got kind of a superhero theme for our message today. And the title of today's sermon is Get Your Cape On. So I've just been wearing this cape as a constant reminder. And then people are like, why are you wearing a cape? Well, find out. But CAPE is an acronym that I developed out of my study in Hebrews chapter 10. And we heard the first letter, which was
confidence.
So our code word, CAPE, is for confidence, assurance, perseverance, and endurance. Let's say that together. Confidence, assurance, perseverance, and endurance. And as Bob read for us, we heard that we have confidence in Christ, that we can enter the sanctuary, into the Holy of Holies by the blood of Jesus. Because of what Jesus has done for us on the cross and being raised from the dead for us and ascended to heaven for us, to pray for us and to come and return to us as the Lord, the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, the Lord of heaven and earth. It's the proof of God's love for us in Jesus. All of God's grace revealed in Jesus for us and through the Holy Spirit. We can have confidence that God loves you. That God loves you. That God is with you. That God is for you, not against you. You can have confidence having faith in Christ that your life is secure, that you are given eternal life in Jesus, provided that you endure in faith. We can have confidence because of Jesus. Second, we can have assurance. Let's go back to what we heard Bob read. It says, let us, this is verse 22. Let us approach with a true heart in full assurance of faith, with our hearts sprinkled clean from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Our bodies have been washed with the purest of water in our water baptism and the blood of Jesus. When we share in Christ's baptism by water and confess our faith publicly, we are initiated into the church. Or we are raised into the church as babies and children. And then we confirm our faith. And we say to the world, yes, I am a disciple of Jesus Christ. And I'm not afraid to share that. I'm not afraid to live like Jesus. That assurance of faith that we are given. That assurance that our future is secure. That we have a promised inheritance waiting for us in heaven, that inheritance of eternal life, that our destiny is to be the people of God in the place of God, in the presence of God. Amen? Assurance of faith, the assurance that God loves you, the assurance of the Holy Spirit that reminds us that we are adopted children of God in Jesus Christ, that we are image bearers of our Creator. That everywhere we go, we are to share the love of our Creator. And we are to steward this creation He has given us. We go back to the work that we were supposed to do before the fall and sin messed everything up. And made us afraid and ashamed and guilty. And that we would fall to that lie of blame. But no, we are sprinkled. Our hearts are sprinkled clean from an evil conscience. See, because of the grace of God, that great grace of God that prepares us to receive Jesus, to receive the gospel through other Christians, people sharing their witness, through the Word of God that reveals who Jesus is to us. And then we experience that justifying grace of knowing the grace of God that we could never do for ourselves, that only Jesus could save us from our sins by dying on that cross for us and being raised from the dead for us so we could have eternal life. And that sanctifying grace where He pours the Holy Spirit into us, the Spirit of Jesus into us, the love of God shed abroad into our hearts to make us perfect, to make us more and more like Jesus and prepare us for the kingdom of heaven. See, what Jesus did for us on the cross, it frees us from the guilt and the shame of our past sins. Amen? It forgives us, wipes that slate clean. But not only that, because of the Holy Spirit, we are free in the present from the power of temptation to sin. Now, temptation doesn't just take us for a ride. Now we have free will. We have a say. We can say yes to God, yes to Jesus, and no to temptation. We can hold one another accountable. We can pray for one another and confess our sins to one another and be healed. Amen? That's what assurance is. Assurance is what reminds us of who we are and whose we are when our circumstances don't look like that. And because of the toughness of our changing circumstances, it says in verse 23, it says, Let us hold fast. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering. For he who promised is faithful. That Jesus is faithful. And we heard how Jesus is faithful when we heard and we said Psalm 40, which was quoted earlier in Hebrews 10. And I want to share with you what Timothy Tennant says about this psalm in the book of Hebrews. He writes that the book of Hebrews seeks to establish that Jesus came to fulfill all sacrifices by offering up himself as the final sacrifice. So when Psalm 40 is quoted in Hebrews beginning at 10:5, it places Psalm 40, 6 to 8, in the mouth of Christ by saying, therefore, when Christ came into the world, he said, these aren't just the words of the psalmist, these are the words of Jesus. And this is what he said. This is a picture of perseverance right here. Sacrifice and offering you did not desire, but a body you prepared for me. With burnt offerings and sin offerings, you were not pleased. And then I said, here I am. It is written about me in the scroll. I have come to do your will, O God. Why don't we say that together? I have come to do your will, O God. See, because of that confidence in Christ and faith and the assurance of faith in Christ, we can have the perseverance to not only say, I have come to do your will, O God, and to pray, not my will be done, but your will be done, O God. But to live that out like Jesus. To live each day and say, God, today, this is the day that the Lord has made. And I have come to do your will, O God. I will rejoice and be glad in it. That perseverance, that willingness to not give up. And let's go to Hebrews 10:24. And let us consider how to provoke one another to love and good deeds, not neglecting to meet together, as is the habit of some, as we all know. You look around. I know people are on vacation, but in our culture, it's become the habit of some and of many to not meet together regularly as Christians. We get so busy. Or as my grandpa taught me, we get buried under Satan's yoke. B-U-S-Y. So we need to provoke one another to love and good deeds, not neglecting to meet together. But instead, we need to encourage one another all the more as you see the day approaching. So how have you been encouraging one another in the church and your families and in your neighbor? How have you been encouraging one another to continue to grow and to live out in your faith? How have you been encouraging one another to not give up, to persevere when things get hard? To not give up praying, even though it seems like it's a crazy thing to pray for, or the circumstances aren't really changing. We all need one another, amen? As disciples, we need the Word of God to enlighten us, to illumine us. We need His Spirit to inspire us. And we need, most of all, we need the people of God to encourage us. Amen? Even the superheroes have superpowers, but they got to have the Justice League or the Avengers. They got to have a team. And that's what we are in the church, the body of Christ. And Jesus gives us, the author of Hebrews gives us this warning. This is in Hebrews 10, verse 26. For if we willfully persist, not in love but in sin, after having received the knowledge of the truth, that is the gospel of Jesus, there no longer remains a sacrifice for sin, but a fearful prospect of judgment and a fury of life that will consume the adversaries. Because in the Old Testament, anyone who violated the law of Moses died without mercy on the testimony of two or three witnesses. So how much more worse punishment do you think will be deserved by those who have spurned the Son of God, who've profaned or ignored the blood of the covenant by which they were sanctified, that is made holy, and outraged the Spirit of grace? For we know the one who said, vengeance is mine, I will repay. He's talking about God, our Creator. And again, the Lord will judge His people. And so the author of Hebrews gives us this stark warning, church. It is a fearful thing fall into the hands of the living God. It is a fearful thing to fall in the hands of a living God. You think that this world is scary? If you forsake the Son of God, having heard the gospel, but then live your life as if Jesus isn't really your Lord and Savior and just giving lip service to Him, there might be bad news for you come judgment day. And I look around the room and the people I know here, I hope that's not the case, because the things that I see are the opposite of that. But we all know people in our life who might have been faithful to God, but now they've given up. Or even some people have even walked away from their faith. I recently heard about how there was an author, his name's Joshua Harris, and when I was in high school, his book was really popular. It was called I Kiss Dating Goodbye. And it was encouraging teens to choose purity and abstinence and waiting until they were married to have sex, to save themselves in purity, to treat their bodies as a temple for the Holy Spirit, and to choose to love God first and let the love of God make them the right person for somebody. And that the love of God would show them who the right person was for them. And he wrote even other books on marriage, and he just recently, it came out that he has not only got a divorce now, he's now no longer in the church. He has walked away from his faith in Jesus. I couldn't believe that when I heard that. And I sat there and I heard that and I thought about this verse. It is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. How much worse punishment do you think will be deserved by those of us who have spurned the Son of God? Profane the blood of the covenant, the blood of Jesus by which we were sanctified, and outrage the Holy Spirit of grace. But the author of Hebrews encourages his audience, because his audience, these Hebrew Christians, these Jewish Christians and these Gentile Christians who are trying to get along together and are facing persecution, facing oppression, facing people who are shunning them in the community, or people who are going to the authorities and trying to get them arrested or thrown in prison because they're trying to help people or because they're just trying to share their faith. Some of them were thinking about, they kind of shirked back. They were kind of falling back. They weren't living out their faith. And so the author of Hebrews wanted to encourage them and say this: recall those earlier days after you've been enlightened. You endured a hard struggle with sufferings. Sometimes being publicly exposed to abuse and persecution, and sometimes being partners with those so treated. For back then you had compassion for those who were in prison, and you cheerfully accepted even the plundering of your possessions, whether people took them from you or you gave them away, knowing that you yourselves possess something better, an eternal faith in Jesus, an eternal life more lasting. So this is what he says. Let's say this together. Do not, therefore, abandon that confidence of yours. It brings a great reward. So I've been talking about confidence, assurance, perseverance that is not giving up. Lastly, it's about endurance. So let's say this next verse together, 36. For you need endurance, so that when you have done the will of God, you may receive what was promised. We need endurance. We need staying power. We need to be like that base runner that gets the hit. And some people, when they play baseball and they hit the ball, they hit a ground ball, they think, oh, I'm not going to make it. And so they don't run all the way. We need to be that person that runs as fast as they can and runs to the base, whether they're out or not. We need to run that race to the finish line. We need to finish strong. Even in the face of death, we need to not fear death or suffering. We only need to fear the living God. Knowing His perfect love casts out all fear. Amen? We need endurance. This local church needs endurance. It takes endurance to think of the big picture. It takes endurance to do whatever it takes to reach the next generation for Jesus. It takes endurance to do whatever it takes to lead our loved ones who've gone astray and to lead them back to Jesus. It takes endurance to forgive our enemies. It takes endurance to get up out of bed when you don't have the physical strength because you have a terminal illness, or you're just too beat down, or you're too depressed. It takes endurance to just get out of bed some days and to say, I have come to do your will, O Lord. We need endurance, church, that when we've done the will of God, we will receive what we have been promised. For yet in a very little while, the one who is coming, that is Jesus, he's going to come and will not delay. But the Lord says, my righteous one will live by faith. We live by faith and not by sight. Amen. He says, my soul takes no pleasure in anyone who shrinks back. Why don't we say this last verse together to close? But we are not among those who shrink back and so are lost, but among those who have faith and so are saved. So get your cape on this week. Live with confidence, assurance, perseverance, and endurance. Let's say that one more time. Confidence, assurance, perseverance, and endurance. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we don't feel like superheroes most of the days. And you are the greatest hero, the greatest savior in the universe of all time. And you are real. But Lord, help us by your Holy Spirit and your word to get our cape on, to live with confidence and faith in you, assurance of faith and hope in you and your precious promises and your love for us, to live with perseverance in faith, to not give up, to press forward, to keep going, just like you did, that you persevered. You went to the cross for us because you saw the joy ahead of you in that cross, knowing that you would save us from our sins so we could be forgiven and free and become like you. And you endured, Lord. You endured in faith so that we can have endurance. You endured so that you were raised from the dead by the Holy Spirit and you ascended to your throne where all your enemies will be made your footstool. And all of us will look to you with confidence, receiving that assurance and having had perseverance and endurance to the end. And we will say, worthy is the Lamb who is slain to receive everything. You are holy, Lord. You are our mighty King, that we will bow before you and we will lay down our crowns before you and worship you and receive what we were promised, inheritance of eternal life with you. And you will save the entire world and make things new. So Lord, save us today and give us that cape to wear so that we can show Jesus to this world and you can save the world around us. In Jesus' name.